Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, give light to the eyes of our minds and open the eyes of our hearts to see your love afresh. Nourish us with your wonderful word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In our psalm this morning, the 23rd psalm, which we sang today, the psalmist celebrates the love of God in a way that has resonated with believers for thousands of years, ever since it was first penned. You get the sense in the 23rd psalm that a mature David, for it is titled a Psalm of David, is reviewing the course of his life and recognizing in the twists and turns of it moments that speak to him of the love of God. He recalls moments of weariness lifted by the gift of respite and rest. He recalls times of dryness transformed by refreshment. He recalls moments of weakness and powerlessness met with new strength. He recalls directions taken that move him to thank God for that. He recalls times when he kept it together and did not surrender to fear as he might have expected. And we hear also a recognition that even in the darkest of times, God has reassured him and guarded him in some way. And in all this, David sees a richness of life, even in a place of conflict. And he sees that goodness and mercy have never been far from him. And in every vision of goodness, in every memory of an act of kindness that he recalls, he sees the love of God, his shepherd, pursuing him. This song, for that is what it is, this vision of the love of God, may move us to giving thanks and praise because we relate to it so closely. We perhaps read it and say, yes, that has been my experience too. Or at other times, perhaps it might move us to prayer because that is not our experience. It's what we would long for. Either way, it is a psalm that seems to speak to many. Now, those things in which David sees signs of the love of his God all find a place in the promises of Jesus. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Anyone who believes in me, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water." He said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." He said, "The Counselor, the Spirit of Truth, will teach you and guide you and lead you into all righteousness." Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble, be hated, shunned, arrested, tried, killed. But fear not, you will have peace. For I have overcome the world, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." This love that pursues people with goodness and mercy, the love the psalmist celebrates, is at the heart of Jesus' every promise. And it's also at the heart of Jesus' own story, his life and his death and his resurrection. In today's reading from the Gospel of John, we hear Jesus say this: I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand will run away from the wolf because he doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I am willing to die for them, he says. No one will take my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again, because that is what my Father has commanded me to do. By reporting those words, John's gospel wants us to see the life and ministry and passion and death and resurrection of Jesus, not just as a sequence of things that happened because they were God's plan, but to see them for what they are: the revelation of God's love, the revelation of a love that pursues people with goodness and mercy. That's the context of Jesus' entire life. A love that pursues human beings with goodness and mercy brought Jesus into the world, informed his every word and action, empowered him to lay his life down and to take it up again. And John's gospel reports these words of Jesus in John chapter 10 so that we will see his death and resurrection in that context, in that light, as the very proof of God's love. In the epistle, John says, "This is how we know what love is. Christ gave his life for us." But he goes on, "This is not just so we have a context to understand Jesus. This is not just for us to know about. That it is not just for us to ponder. But it is something for us to imitate. We too then ought to give our lives for others," says John. What might that look like? The Apostle Peter gives us one example in the book of Acts. We catch a glimpse of Peter in this morning's reading from Acts. In those first days of the church, Peter, true to his name, was a rock for the first believers. He preached the first public sermon. He made the first altar call, if we can call it that. Peter participated in the first healing. Peter was the first to be arrested, along with John. And along with John was the first to be scourged. Peter was the first to preach to the Gentiles and the first to square up to the authorities, understanding what that might mean. That is what being a rock for those first believers meant for Peter. And Peter did all this knowing the kind of death that those choices would lead him to. Peter knew because Jesus had warned him. And so Peter's imitation of the love of Jesus, this self-sacrificing love, this love that pursues people with goodness and mercy, his imitation was very close. Now, our context is different. Our situations are different. But as John outlines in the epistle, and as he hints with just one example, there are many ways in which we can imitate the love of Jesus and give ourselves to others. Being a rock for another person may be precisely how God has placed you in this season of your life. Are you a rock for a person who is sick or suffering or anxious or vulnerable or young or old, then you are expressing, you are imitating the love of Jesus. Might you be a financial rock for one who is poor or needy? This too imitates the love of Jesus. Are you a rock for people who are voiceless or marginalized or unrepresented or unhelped? This also represents the love of Jesus. At this time of year, and on Anzac Day in particular, we honor those who have given their lives, or their health, or their peace of mind in the context of warfare. And the field of poppies in the labyrinth this morning, given by our friends involved in Covenant Care, is a reminder to us that the world in which we live is one full of people who desperately need pursuing with goodness and mercy. So let me come back to those memories on which the psalmist looks back and says, that was the love of God. That was the love of the Lord, my shepherd. His were memories of rest and respite, refreshment, strengthening, restoring, guiding, reassuring, protecting, the provision of needs and of plenty. Are those not things that we might give to others? When we draw alongside and give any of those things to another person, we are creating new moments, new memories of the love of God, such as those celebrated by David. And we make the love of the Lord our shepherd real one more time to one more person. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.